Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a conversation about the mundane. One thing that we can promise is that our conversation will be less than fascinating so that you can feel free to drift off. You can feel free to listen to the entire episode if you'd like. You can feel free to rate us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen. But just feel free to listen and enjoy. Thank you for joining us. We do hope you will listen and sleep. I am your host, Marco Timpano. Joining me in the studio is a voice you may remember. It's my dear friend, Daniel Krolik. Daniel, welcome back.
Hey, Marco.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Anytime.
And I know it's a cold one. You came in.
It's better today than it was a few days ago.
Okay.
So I think we're slowly acclimatizing to this early frost.
One thing that warms a lot of people is our topic for today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about the sock, or socks, I should say.
Yeah, so, they usually come in multiples. It's usually not the sock.
It depends how many feet you have, I guess.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
But let me ask you, how important are your socks?
They're pretty vital. And to be honest, there are some pairs, because sometimes I splurge, you know. Sometimes
sure.
you find yourself at a Winners or at a Bay and you look and you say, oh, they're six men's socks for $12, and it's
right.
a good deal.
Sure.
And you snap them up. And sometimes you're at a specialty store, you're out of town, you're at a boutique, and you see this gorgeous, fun, funky pair of socks, and they're like, I don't know, $10 or
sure.
$50, and you're like, okay, I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to splurge. So often I'll be going through my sock drawer and I'll be throwing old socks away. And sometimes I'll come across a pair and I'm like, I just can't.
Fair.
But I can't even wear them. They'll be beyond wearing.
Okay.
There's one pair that I bought years ago,
mm-hmm.
When my dad came to visit me in Toronto to see a show. And we were walking along Queen West, and we bought matching pairs of socks, and they had like a big kraken on it.
Oh, really?
Like a kraken coming out of the water.
Like a mystical
squid.
Beast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I can't wear them anymore, but I don't want to throw them away.
Okay.
Because they're so thin and threadbare, but I can't because it's such, they're so cool and
sure.
there's a little bit of an attachment.
Can you frame them?
I don't know. I mean, I could. You
sure.
can frame anything,
of
you
course.
Know. But I don't know if I want people to come to my apartment
and see.
And me having to go through this whole Megilla, as it were,
sure.
of why I frame socks on my wall.
Well, here's the thing. You could frame it and put it in your closet so no one sees it but you.
Oh,
it's
okay.
kind of a closet appropriate.
Sure. Kind of like what they did with the first wife in Jane Eyre, when there's like the crazy first wife in the attic.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
there you
yeah.
go.
I was also I was in New York very briefly over the summer, and every time I'm there, I go to the Strand bookstore, which is sort of like the Broadway and I think 12th maybe.
Okay.
And I just lose myself for a few hours in the bookstore. But when I was there, they had an entire wall of specialty socks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
like specialty Broadway socks?
Book-themed.
Oh, book-themed.
Because it's a massive bookstore. So they had a full wall of book-themed socks. So there I got a couple of pairs for myself, and they were obviously overpriced and souvenir-y.
Sure.
But, you know.
Can you tell us what's on them?
Yeah, I got one of King Kong on the Empire State Building.
Okay.
And he was reading a book while the planes were flying around.
Amazing.
And the other one I got, and it had like the sampler font, like it looked like it was stitched on an old-timey sampler.
Okay.
And it said, I am silently judging your grandmother.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So great. For our listeners who are like, what's the Bay? What's Winners? Those are stores.
Oh, they're here. Canadian yes, stores.
There you go.
Winners is on par with TJ Maxx.
I think so.
I guess.
If you're in the in the U.S., TJ Maxx would be a equivalent. And the Bay – Marks and Spencer's would be the equivalent to the Bay in the U.K., would you say? I would say.
In the U.K.?
Well, Marks and Spencer's in the U.K.
Or maybe like a – do they still have JCPenney's in the States?
Well, I'm thinking of my U.K. listeners.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
On how to – because, you know – what will often happen when you have a podcast is you make local references and then you make references to the
Absolutely.
Next big place, which is the U.S. market. But you're like, but I look at my listeners and I've got them all over the world.
Terrific.
So I don't know what the South Pacific, Australia, New Zealand.
But I would say the Bay, if you're listening and if you're American, I said JCPenney, but I think I'm wrong. I would say maybe just a Macy's.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. What about your everyday socks?
Well, what am I wearing? I don't even know what I'm wearing.
Well, those are fancy.
You know what? These I actually bought in TJ Maxx in Vermont.
Okay. Speaking of which.
Yeah. So I bought a bunch of pairs. I guess I was in Vermont, I don't know, maybe a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a bunch of pairs. These might be Ben Sherman. I don't know how fancy they are.
Well, they've got a paisley design on them. I think they're kind of fancy. Okay, so I've got my everyday socks, which I usually buy at Costco. They're just like a gray tube sock.
Yeah.
They're always great for everyday activities. And I do have some fancy socks. And when I say fancy socks, you know, they have designs on them. I have one with
sequin. Do you have sequin socks?
No, I wish I did. Michael Jackson's sequin socks. Yeah, how great would that be? But I don't think they'd be comfortable.
Well, they'd be on the outside. So you wouldn't feel them against your skin.
I guess. But there aren't things made of sequins kind of rigid no matter how
hard. Yeah, I mean, you're talking to somebody who doesn't really wear much sequin, so I don't – I can't really speak from experience, and maybe that's on me. Maybe I should be wearing more.
Well, I have a sweet sequins vest.
Oh.
That I took from a show that I was in.
Okay, so what show? Do you remember?
It was Tony and Tina's wedding.
Sure.
And it was the vest that one character wore. I shouldn't say this because any of my friends, we all kind of coveted this particular vest.
Anyone, but it's been closed for years.
It's been closed for years. Yeah. But it has a leopard skin kind of design in sequence.
Marco, yeah. You've been holding out.
I know I'm going to need it.
Have you ever had occasion to wear it since you took it?
No, but I've had people request it and I've told them no.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too precious. Like I've had somebody say, oh, can I just have it for my show? I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, I understand. I've lost things that way.
Yeah, you can't. Like certain things where it's like, I'm not going to find a replacement for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're going to treat it with the respect it deserves.
Which – was it the videographer character?
No, it was the the person who hosted the party at his establishment.
Oh, okay.
It was Vinny.
So you played – you ended up – because I know you played multiple characters in that show.
I played that for a while, but it actually was worn by a friend of mine much longer than it really should have gone to him.
Do I know this friend?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Did your friend want it?
That I don't know. It was never, I think it was going to go into the wardrobe, whatever you call it, storage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was going to go to storage and I didn't think it would, storage would keep it for that long. So I was like, you know what? I'll just take it until someone asks.
Yeah.
Well, no one's asked and now it's mine.
I've done that. The most recent, and I think now we might be on the topic of taking your costumes.
Yeah, sure.
Which is something that I think I don't know anybody who doesn't want to because, you know, if you're working on a professional production, you have somebody who is custom fitting something for your frame, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, I did a play in Thunder Bay going on 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I took my socks from it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I did. And Thunder Bay is not too far away from Minnesota. So our costume designer went on a weekend to Duluth, Minnesota while we were in rehearsals. And apropos of nothing, we didn't even – oh, I did wear mine in the show. She bought myself and the other actor in the show. She bought us both socks. And I have these adorable rubber ducky socks from the run of my show.
Cool.
And again, I'm not wearing them anymore because they're just starting to fray. So I'm sort of keeping them in my drawer.
Thunder Bay, what a great, great place. I love Thunder Bay. I love the art scene and I love the theater that they bring up
there. You know what I do? I hope I'm back there. Yeah. I had a really special time there, so mm-hmm. I do hope that I'm back there.
Now, here's something I did with – because I had a lot of T-shirts when I was traveling that I really adored, but I was no longer wearing, or they had – you know, they just get to a point where you can't wear them anymore.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get rid of them.
I'm the same way.
It's like, what do I do with these T-shirts? And they would have like – you know, a fun – like I had one from Martha's Vineyard that had a mermaid on it, but it wasn't like – I know it sounds a little bit corny, but it was a cool-looking mermaid emblem.
Is this from your youth or is this from your adulthood?
No, this is from my adulthood. When I was working on ships and we would port different cities, I would buy something. And in – what's it, Martha? It was Bar Harbor, Maine. And I love Bar Harbor.
Oh, I've been to Bar Harbor as a child. Yeah.
I love Bar Harbor. I would love – based on Bar Harbor, I would like to explore more of Maine. Have you been to a lot of places in Maine?
Not a lot. I remember going to Algonquin as a child, but this summer my family went to Old Orchard Beach.
And how was – that's in Maine?
Yes. It was – it's fun. It's very much just sort of like a midway boardwalk
okay.
town. So there's – and I say this with complete fondness.
Sure.
Because it's just, you know, amusement park rides and fried food.
Sure.
And
kitschy.
Souvenir.
Or
– totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So in terms of like a classy, you know, a classy lobster dinner experience, it might not be the ideal location, but it has a gorgeous beach, very walkable, tons and tons of families, a gorgeous boardwalk. Culturally, there wasn't anything to sort of pique your interest.
That you found?
That I found,
fair.
Yes. But, you know, the best lobster place that we had was just the place that was geographically the closest to us, the best lobster rolls that we had on that trip.
Oh, man. And you value, like my wife Amanda, a good lobster
roll. Well, that's the thing. I was raised – I wasn't raised strictly kosher.
Right.
But I was raised in a house where we had two sets of dishes, where we had a meat set and a dairy set.
Sure.
And my mother did not bring non-kosher meat into the house.
Fair.
When we would eat out, we would eat out non-kosher. But I grew up not eating pork or shellfish. And now that I'm left to my own devices, I will always default to some kind of seafood.
There you go.
Always, always.
That's awesome. Back to my sweater from Bar Harbor.
Sure. Oh, sure.
No, it's not. Trust me. We weave and veer, and I'm the one who has to remember to go back. Otherwise, our listeners are like, but you started to talk.
I can't wait to hear about your sweater.
So this mermaid.
I feel like I've been waiting so long, so no matter what you're going to say is going to underwhelm, but go ahead.
I also had a T-shirt. Let me just say this as well, because it's gonna involve these T-shirts. I purchased this T-shirt in southern Italy at a laundromat. And the reason
you bought the T-shirt at a laundromat?
Yeah, it was a public laundromat. And they had T-shirts because the laundromat was called E. Jefferson's Laundromat, Lavanderia, right?
Was it a Jefferson's-themed laundromat,
no,
like the TV show?
But it was in reference to the Jeffersons because if you remember, George Jefferson owned dry cleaners, right?
Right.
You had to sort of put these things together because if you saw the T-shirt and didn't speak Italian, you wouldn't understand. You would just think, oh, Jefferson's. It was something advertising Jefferson's, right? But if you were Italian, the only way you'd understand the T-shirt is if you watched the television show The Jeffersons in Italian to figure out that he owned a dry cleaning business, but this was a laundromat.
But Sherman Helmsley wasn't on the T-shirt.
No, it just said E. Jefferson's.
That's so funny.
E meaning the letter I,
yeah.
which translates to the or plural Jeffersons, right? It's not even correct because George Jefferson was his name, but they called it E. Jefferson. So in other words, they called it the Jeffersons in Italian. So you had to make all these conclusions to figure out the meaning behind it.
So I mean, I've never been to Italy, but like American TV shows made its way over and found
– yeah. Okay. So they would – the big television series, for example, The Bold and the Beautiful in Italy is huge, but they just call it Beautiful. So if you – it would be 20 minutes in the afternoon when you're having lunch, Beautiful would air on Italian television. And because a lot of people go home for lunch, they would watch during their lunch beautiful, or as we know it, the bold and the beautiful. Mm-hmm. So when I would go to Italy to visit friends and family, they would ask me, Marco, what's going on Beautiful? And I'd be like, I don't understand what you mean. On the television show, Beautiful. And I'm like, I don't think we have a show called Beautiful. And then I watched it with them and I'm like, oh, this is that soap opera. I think it's called The Bold and the Beautiful. But they would ask me specific questions because they knew we were 4 or 5 months in advance to what they were seeing.
Sure.
By the time it got translated or dubbed.
The Bold and the Beautiful, I'm trying to – I know it was a spinoff of Young and the Restless. I remember Ridge and Stephanie.
Sally was a big part of that show for Italian. Sally, okay. I wish I could remember her name. Sally Strick. I know she owned the I think they had
fashion?
A fashion
yeah.
Conglomerate.
It's funny that you bring that up. I just finished watching a wonderful show on Netflix called Shtisel,
okay.
Which is an Israeli drama about the ultra-Orthodox community.
Oh, wow.
So it's this community that is completely sequestered, completely mm-hmm. cut off from secular culture. And in one of the plot threads, the main character's grandmother moves into a nursing home. But this is a woman who she's 80-something years old and her entire life has been very cloistered, very Orthodox. And she gets a TV in her room in the home and she starts watching The Bold and the Beautiful. But this is a woman who has never seen a television program in her life, can't understand
sure.
that these are actors reading dialogue and you know, so she becomes embroiled in all of the drama and she starts, you know, praying for these people and praying for their struggles.
Oh, my goodness. I thought it was a documentary at first when you were describing it.
No.
But
no.
Then when this part came up, I can't wait to watch it. This sounds great.
It's unlike, and it's funny. I just recorded an episode of my own podcast.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, I didn't mention it.
Don't
but
be
please,
sorry. Please. No, you've talked about it before. I brought this television program up on the episode that we were recording on last night.
That podcast, if you haven't listened to it yet, is called Bad Gay Movies or Bitchy Gay Men (BGM).
Yes,
and it is. Fantastic. I'm a huge fan of it. And it is a podcast for everyone, just so, in case you're listening and saying, oh, it might not speak to me. It speaks to
you. You don't need to be gay or bitchy.
But it helps.
But it helps.
I'm kidding.
Always does.
I love it. I wanted to say that years later, I worked with someone who was on the show, The Bold and the Beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Jeff Trachta.
I can picture him.
Okay.
I totally know who he is. Yeah.
So he worked on the cruise ships with us.
As a performer.
As a performer, he had his own one-man show.
Did he sing or tell jokes? What did he do?
All of the above. It was kind of cabaret. It was it catered to a specific audience, but it was open to everyone. And he was a lovely gentleman. I asked him, I said, what was it like for you on Bold and the Beautiful? And he's like, it was fantastic. And I said, did you know that you guys were huge in Italy? He goes, did we know? We were so big in Italy that they moved the show there for a week. Part of the plot was they had to go to Italy for whatever, I guess a fashion thing. And he goes, I have never been treated. He goes, it was like we were royalty. He goes, I can't even tell you.
I think I remember these episodes from when I would watch it as maybe a high schooler. I think I remember those episodes.
I didn't realize you watched The Bold and the Beautiful.
Not frequently. I would watch Days of Our Lives pretty regularly in the mid-90s. A little bit of Young and the Restless and a little bit of Bold and the Beautiful.
Okay.
But not – I mean if I had a day off from – if I had like a pedagogical day from school
sure.
or if I was sick. So not with any regularity but on occasion. Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm a little bit familiar with the characters
fair.
And the stories.
I mean, you also know quite a bit about the world of television, film,
sure.
and books and whatnot.
Sure.
So it doesn't surprise me is what I'm trying to say. But he was just saying how well they were treated. He goes, it was great because he goes, I love Italy. I love Italian food. And he goes, and I felt like I was a bit of a hero there. But back to my shirt. So this is what
yes.
I did with these shirts. I love them, but I knew they were taking up too much room and I just had to part with them. So what I did was I took a photo of them and put them on my Facebook. So anytime I need to see them, I can go to Facebook and find them.
That is what I did in the house that I grew up in Montreal. This was quite some years ago where I threw out some old things. I threw out some old board games and some old magazines and some old things that I had from university that ended up at my mother's.
Of course.
So I did take some pictures of the things that I was getting rid of, and I do have those on my phone.
Great.
So, yes.
So that's what I did. So anyone who needs to part with something and they don't know how, as Daniel did with the things in his childhood home in Montreal, and as I did with some key T-shirts, take photos and put them on someplace
that's
where you can.
That's a great idea, Marco.
Back to socks.
Yes.
Have you ever worn compression socks?
No, I've never had the need so far. I probably will.
Okay, but I'm going to tell you this. Whether you have the need or not, get yourself a pair of compression socks. Because if you go on a trip, an hour or 2 hours, whether it be in the car or on a plane, and you wear compression socks, when you get to your destination and remove them, your feet will feel amazing. That has been my experience.
I had no idea.
Yeah. My mother-in-law bought them for Christmas for me 1 year. And I was like, okay, I guess she thinks I'm really old or she thinks I need compression socks. She's like, I wear them and I swear by them. And since she has, I wear them and I swear by them. And anyone who I've told who've purchased them will usually email me or let me know that they've been so great.
I would never think of getting compression socks. Wow.
Because they're often associated with people who have an ailment that require compression socks. But I think they're for anyone who is going to be traveling. I don't know what it does, but it keeps – I don't know what it does to make you feel better once you take them off. But I've noticed a huge difference when I travel with compression socks.
Are they good if you're sightseeing and if you're spending the entire day on your feet?
Great question. So if I'm spending the entire day standing, let's say especially on concrete, I will wear them because I know my feet will be sore and tired afterwards. So I would say anytime you're going to be standing or using your feet, not in a sports type capacity, because I don't know if they're good for physical activity. But for standing and not doing physical activity or sitting for long periods of time, in particular on floors that are not that don't have give, like wooden floors, I would recommend using compression socks.
That's good to know.
Speaking of sports socks, what kind of sports socks do you like to use when you're doing physical activity?
I wear ankle socks.
You wear ankle socks.
Yes. Which reminds me, I do, and I wear them. I'm not big on sandals or flip-flops, so even during the summer, I'll wear a pair of sneakers with ankle socks. But if I do go to the gym, I'll wear ankle socks.
Ankle socks, I see their function, and I can appreciate it when it's really hot.
And I enjoy them aesthetically as well.
Oh, you do?
I do.
They drive me a bit crazy.
Why?
I find them hard to fold and keep in your closet so that they stay – or in your drawers to stay together. I don't roll my socks into each other. I don't know if you do that.
I do.
Yeah, I don't do that anymore.
Okay.
Because I was told it wrecks the stretch of the
– oh.
Yeah, so I try to just place them together and give them the Marie Kondo roll.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start doing that. Maybe the socks that I spoke of earlier that I'm sentimental about, maybe they would have lasted longer.
Yeah, because – you'll stretch the elasticity of the part that – oh, it has a name because I had someone on the show and she was telling us about when she knits socks and how you start with the heel or you start the turn. There's a term for that part of the sock. I can't remember.
Okay. I didn't know that. And I haven't seen the Marie Kondo special.
I read the book.
Okay.
And she talks – if I recall correctly, that your socks take such a beating every day from you wearing them.
Absolutely.
Why not let them rest when you're not wearing them and not let them take a beating? So
don't
fold them in. You do what you want. You do what works for you. But that's what I've been doing.
I do want to bring up a scene in a movie from last year. This is on topic. You saw A Star Is Born?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. There was a scene in the movie where
– is this a spoiler? Should we just say spoiler alert?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. And the movie's been out for a long time now. where there was a young manager who came to visit Ali, the Lady Gaga character, and this was sort of on her ascent, and the Bradley Cooper character was on his way down. And he's awkwardly waiting in a room with Bradley Cooper, waiting to see Ali. And they're making awkward small talk. And the money manager is wearing ankle socks. Or the hip manager is wearing ankle socks. And Bradley Cooper says, "Oh, I thought only women wore those types of socks." And that's something that has irked me ever since I've seen the movie. And I don't think of ankle socks as being worn exclusively by women.
No, neither do I. I see them as socks that are worn primarily when you're doing physical activity or when it's hot outside.
Or if you're wearing shorts.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But according to the Bradley Cooper character in A Star Is Born, ankle socks are a very feminine thing to wear.
I see.
Which personally, that has never occurred to me.
Well, all I'll say is attitudes like that, much like the character in the movie.
They just die.
They just die.
Well, that might be a spoiler for your audience,
okay,
Marco.
Sorry about that if I ruined the movie for you. But it has had three incarnations.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that's been around. You know, one last sock thing before we end this episode is when you don't know what to give as a gift, a pair of fancy socks.
Okay.
Because I bought my wife – last year, an advent calendar of socks so that every –
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. I don't remember how advent calendars work. I think it's like December 1st all the way to the 24th or something.
You're asking the wrong person.
Fair enough. But for Hanukkah, so it's what, 8 days of Hanukkah, right?
Yes.
You could do a Hanukkah advent sock kind of thing. I don't know what it wouldn't be called advent, obviously. But what it was like this wooden box, and every day she would punch a hole in it and remove a pair of socks, and she'd have socks.
She would punch a hole out of rage?
No, you didn't have to punch a hole, but like, you know, sometimes you kind of have to – it's perforated.
Okay, because I'm just picture you making Amanda so angry for 24 days, and she just has no choice but to punch a hole in the advent calendar.
That might be a great business you and I can start, rage socks, where you have like a thing of a wooden box and you just punch a hole, and at the end of it you get a pair of socks.
I mean, they have, you know, they have the rage rooms where you can go into a padded room and just throw things around and get everything out of your system. So that's not a bad idea.
Let me know if you would purchase Krolik Timpano rage socks, because maybe we'll start that business up.
So, okay, we'll
discuss.
Spitball, we'll workshop.
Right, sure.
I do want to, before we leave, also want to bring up the John Lovett sketch from Saturday Night Live. Do you remember the Hanukkah Harry sketch?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah, and the joke was Hanukkah is not as exciting as Christmas.
Sure.
So John Lovett's bought these poor kids socks, like 8 socks to a pack.
Sure. Well, there you go. We could even theme it with something like
that. Okay. So when you talk about getting socks for Christmas and holidays,
right.
I go, my mind goes to the Hanukkah Harry character from Saturday Night Live.
Fair enough. And the disappointment of receiving. Would you be disappointed if you received socks on your birthday or on a special occasion?
But again, if there are special socks or customized socks, I would I would welcome it because – and again, like I talked about going to the Strand earlier.
Sure.
And I had my friend Jonathan who was feeding my cat while I was away. So I got him a few pairs of the special socks at the bookstore.
Unique.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend getting kids socks for occasions because they're not going to appreciate it. I would have been upset as a kid if I got socks for Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, unless if they're particularly, you know, particularly artistic or particularly personal. But no, I think I would avoid that.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for doing the sock episode with me. This has actually been an episode that was requested by one of our listeners.
Oh, anytime you want to sock it to me, I will sock it to you right back.
Listen for Daniel because we're going to do an episode on Glenn Close. And we're going to do an episode on some of his favorite authors.
Pardon me if I get too excited during that one.
I'll try to keep it measured as best I can. Until then, we hope you listen and sleep.